भगवते वासुदेवायाम् ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम् ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम् Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 15. Dharma artam api na ihita yatra artam va adanaha danam anita anehammanasya. Maha aheha eva vrittida. Dharmatam api nehetam yatratam vadanadanam anihani hamanasya mahahe eva vrittidam. Dharmartham api neheta yatratham vadanadanam anihani hamanasya mahahe eva vrittidam. Dharmartham api neheta yatra tam vadanodanam anihani hamanasya mahahe eva vrittida. Please chant. Ladies.
Thank you.
Dharmartham. In religion or economic development. Api. Indeed. Na. Not. Iheta. Should try to obtain. Yatra. Artham. Just to maintain the body and soul together. Va. Either. Adanaha. One who has no wealth. Dhanam. Money. Aniha. The desirelessness. Anihamanasya. Of a person who does not endeavor even to earn his livelihood. Maha-aheha, the great serpent known as the python. Eva, like vritti, da, which obtains its livelihood without endeavor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition just to maintain his body and soul together, or to become a famous religionist. Just as a great python, although lying in one place, not endeavoring for its livelihood, gets the food it needs to maintain body and soul, one who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor. Please repeat. Even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition just to maintain his body and soul together, or to become a famous religionist. Just as a great python, although being in one place, not endeavoring for its livelihood, gets the food it needs to maintain body and soul. One who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor. Human life, purport. Human life is simply meant for developing Krishna consciousness. One need not even try to earn a livelihood to maintain body and soul together. This is illustrated here by the example of the great python, which lies in one place, never going here and there to earn a livelihood to maintain itself, and yet is maintained by the grace of the Lord, as advised by Narad Muni, Bhagavatam 1.5.18, Tasyaiva heto prayateta kavida. One should simply endeavor to increase his Krishna consciousness. One should not desire to do anything else, even to earn his livelihood. There are many, many examples of this attitude. Madhavendra Puri, for instance, would never go to anyone to ask for food. Shukdeva Goswami has also said, Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dana durma danadan. Why should one approach a person who is blind with wealth? Rather, one should depend on Krishna, and he will give everything. All the members of our Krishna consciousness movement, whether they be grihastha or sannyasis, should try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement with determination, and Krishna will supply all necessities. The process of ajagara vritti, the means of livelihood of a python, is very much appreciated in this regard. Even though one may be very poor, he should simply try to advance in Krishna consciousness and not endeavor to earn his livelihood. Oma gina timirandasya gananjana shilakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Now, just repeating the translation again. Even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition just to maintain his body and soul together or to become a famous religionist. Just as a great python, although lying in one place, not endeavoring for its livelihood, gets the food it needs to maintain body and soul, one who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor. So the first thing is desirelessness. Srila Prabhupada has said many times that it is impossible to be without desire. Either you have material desires or you have spiritual desires, because desire is the symptom of life. We have come to this world as a result of desire. The desire to no longer serve God, but to rather be served as a god. So we have been given this world to live in and to acquire, to accomplish that particular goal of feeling what it's like to be a lord, to be a controller, to be a friend of all, to be a sense gratifier. But given that opportunity here, and we continue to be given that opportunity by the Supersoul who assists us in obtaining those things in relation to or in conjunction with the karma that we have. When we get tired of all the miseries, the sufferings, the difficulties, the problems that such accomplishments bring us, and we no longer want to stay in this world, we no longer want those problems, we no longer want those sufferings, then Supersoul will aid us, will help us, and guide us to a person such as Srila Prabhupada or his books, which will enable us to get out of the material world through the process of purification. Purification of body, purification of mind, purification of intelligence, and in a sense, purification of the soul being covered with different kinds of impurities, such as lust and anger and greed and envy, illusion, pride, sloth, gluttony, and all those wonderful good things that we love. So as a result of those things, they entangle us. They strangle us. They chain us to this material world. Every pleasure, when repeated again and again, causes an attachment. And when the attachment is there, we begin to feel that it's very necessary for us to live. In other words, we become habituated to it. And after we become habituated to it, we then become addicted to it. After we become addicted to it, we feel that we must have it to live happily. And this is an illusion. The only thing we need to live happily is service to Lord Sri Krishna. Love for Lord Sri Krishna. That is the reality. That is the truth. Everything else is simply false. You say, well, I need to eat. Well, Krishna will provide you with food. I need clothes. He will provide that also. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He has all power. He's everywhere present, especially in the heart, right beside the soul. And he is ready to give us help and aid and direction when we no longer want to live in this material world, but rather want to live in the eternal world and serve the Lord. In other words, we want to go back to what we left. We had independence. We always have independence. We decided we no longer wanted to serve Krishna. That's our independence. And rather we want to taste what it's like to be a Lord. We want to taste what it's like to be honored, to be celebrated, to be glorified, to be looked up to be praised, to be befriended. And so we come here for that. But as I said, that since everyone else is striving for lordship, you're always going to get two or three or four lords bopping heads together, and one of them comes out the victor, at least temporarily, until the others start fighting for their position. Ultimately, all these victories, all these triumphs, all these different achievements come to zero. They come to zero because at the time of death, we have to leave them. Whether you become a president of a country or a president of a corporation, whether you become a movie star, you become a rock star, you become a sports star, big political star, whatever it is, we have it only for a certain amount of time, and after that time passes, we no longer have it. We may die in our position, or we may just grow old and gradually just have to live on the ancient memories of when everybody applauded us and honored us and glorified us. And we live in the illusion of those memories. And finally, when we die, we finally have to go on to another body. As the embodied soul passes in this body from childhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by these changes. So we then enter into another body. The living entity carries its different conceptions of life from one body to the next, as the air carries aromas. Thus, he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So this is what is going on. You have a body in this world. You achieve a certain amount or a certain degree of lordship. If it's not enough and you want more and you die, then you have to come back again to achieve more. Even though you were miserable with the little, still you want more, more misery. That's the way it goes. But we don't think of the miseries. Generally, people take their miseries as just part of the game. Even though there's tremendous and terrible suffering. There's no thought that this can actually be not just relieved, but eradicated. How can it be eradicated? By the process of devotional service. It is outlined in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the different ways in which we can overcome the impurities which hold us down, which tie us up to this material world. Chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing the names of God, remembering Krishna's pastimes, serving his lotus feet, worshiping the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, practical service to Krishna, having a friendly association with Krishna, feeling that he's your best friend, offering one's body, one's mind, and one's words to the Lord. These are different ways in which the mind, which is full of impurity, and the soul, which is covered by these impurities, can be attenuated or lessened until finally they disappear. And all that exists is no longer the covering, but what is we call the soul, just who we really are. And who are we? What is our nature? For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. It has not come into being. It does not come into being, and it will not come into being. It is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. It is not slain when the body is slain. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to slay the imperishable soul. As the sun alone lights up the entire universe, so does the soul, one within the body, light up the entire body. It is the soul which gives life to the body. The difference between a living body and a dead body is that one has a soul in it, and it is the soul which is the basic energy that sets in motion all the activities of our body, our brain, our mind. Now, coming back to the verse itself, this was more or less of an introduction to this. In the verse it says, which is very interesting, because a person can very easily misinterpret this. It says, even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition just to maintain his body and soul together, and that rather he should become like a python. So does that mean after this class we should all go on the corner, sit down on the curb, open our mouth, and just wait for the next somebody to throw something in our mouth? Maybe some food, some bread, or some halwa, or some sweet rice, or something. You just sit there like the python does? Is that what this is saying? Absolutely not. It would seem that way, but that's why one has to read many other things that Srila Prabhupada says. He's talking about an attitude. The python is basically not worried. He just sits there with his mouth open, and he has faith that somehow he'll go on, he'll continue. You don't see him crying. You don't see him shaking in anxiety. He just sits there and waits, and something passes by, and either he just gobbles it up or he wraps its body around it, smothers it, and eats it. And they don't discriminate. One woman, her dog was walked into another yard, and she didn't know that the man who lived in that yard had a pet boa constrictor. Same thing, basically. So the boa constrictors saw the dog, and the dog went by it, and like silly dogs, they go and they come up close and they bark, "Get off my property." So the boa constrictor had another idea. He said, "You get off my property, and I'm going to make sure you do." He opened his mouth, wrapped his coils around it, smothered it. And then when the woman came out and she heard the screaming, the dog barking, she saw her dog half in the mouth of the python. So she filed a lawsuit against the person. She couldn't get the dog back. She may have gotten some money, though, as a result, because after all, if you have a python pet, you should at least keep it corralled in a proper place so that it doesn't go around eating the pet dogs. Anyway, the important point is this, is that the point that's being made here is the attitude. And Srila Prabhupada mentions and makes it very clear that the thing we should most be concerned about, it doesn't mean that you should give up your livelihood per se. It doesn't mean that. Because so many places all over, it's mentioned that one should perform his prescribed duties, whatever they happen to be, depending upon your ashram, depending upon your varna. So prescribed duties should not be given up because of the fact that they help us to improve spiritually. They refine us, they sublimate us, they enable us to develop realizations, and they also provide a means in a society for the wheels to keep turning so that so many things can go on. If you have, for example, let's say your prescribed duty is to pull the trash and take it away. Well, if the trash collectors stop taking the trash away, and we have had strikes, and we have had times when there were holidays, so when you walk past the trash just down at the corner here, you have to walk past it holding your nose because it's a horrible smell. And therefore, the trash collector serves a very useful, very important purpose. Everyone serves a purpose. And so each and every individual helps to keep the wheels of society running. But that's not the goal of life. That's not the purpose of life, to simply keep the wheels of society going. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that everyone should try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. The emphasis here is on not worrying about whether you're going to be bringing in money, not worrying whether you're going to get wealthy, not worrying about whether you're even going to be successful. Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that our worry or concern should be, am I thinking of Krishna? Is my heart flowing out to Krishna? Do I feel love for Krishna now? Am I doing what I am doing as a love offering to Krishna? As he says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances and worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. He says, engage your mind, you think about me. And then he says, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction. And in that way, you'll be free from the bondage to work. In other words, he's saying, you work for me. So whether you're a devotee who lives in a temple and works in a temple situation, you might be a pujari, you might be a cook, you might be a cleaner, you might be a book distributor. You might be doing different, cleaning the ashram. Whatever your service is, or you might be the cook, or you might be the cashier. Whatever the service is, Krishna is saying is that, first of all, that's service which is helping to move on or keep going the Krishna consciousness movement. So that is considered beneficial service. But everyone doesn't get that opportunity. So few people do. And even those who do sometimes don't completely appreciate how valuable it is to be an employee of the Supreme Lord. Who in the world gets to be Krishna's employee, his servant? It's a rare, it's a precious, it's a glorious opportunity. And when it is viewed and regarded in that light, then it really multiplies in terms of benefits. When Krishna sees that we are truly appreciative of what he has given, and that we're not merely taking it for granted. I am such a good devotee. I'm donating my time. I could be going to the movies, or I could be going to school and getting a higher education. Instead, but I'm giving my time to Krishna. This is a wrong attitude. Rather, the very fact that you're serving Krishna, that is the highest, the greatest, the best that you can ever do for your life. Because it yields blessings. As Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So Krishna gives a reward for all the service that we give. The best reward, of course, is he gives more and more and more of himself. And what does that mean, himself? What he is Satchit Ananda. He is bliss, he is peace, he is eternality, and he is pure love. And the more we serve without desire for some reward or some benefit or some glory or some adoration or some money or some wealth, and we serve simply and only to give pleasure to Krishna. If we serve in that manner, he's very pleased and he gives more and more of his love to us. And when he floods our hearts with his love, we feel peaceful, we feel uplifted, we feel blissful, happy, fulfilled. To such a degree that we just want to share what we have received with others who may not have that. And to let them know that this is available within themselves. It can come just as we received it, others can receive it. Just as we at one time had nothing and Srila Prabhupada came and he awakened us to what Krishna consciousness was and is. The same thing we can do for others. We can distribute books, we can distribute prasadam. We can distribute just through one-on-one conversations at the Sunday feast and talk to people, engage them in conversation, assure them that they can be happier. Sometimes a person said, I'm sad, I'm so sorry, I just broke up with my boyfriend, and it feels like hell, you know. Or we just got a divorce, and it feels like hell. And many book distributors, when they're distributing, they meet these type of persons. And they actually write for Krishna consciousness. So the problems, those problems can be solved when we become Krishna conscious. And that's what this verse is all about. Focusing on becoming more and more Krishna conscious. Developing our love for Krishna. Developing the habit of remembering Krishna throughout the day as often as possible. That is not easy. There are different ways people can do that. Sometimes people write the initial of Krishna on their wrist. Some keep the picture of Krishna over their computer monitors. Or some get into the habit of humming a tune with Krishna's name in it. Sometimes it's even a popular tune. But they keep it going so that they're able to remember Krishna. When you remember Krishna's name, then you remember what he is, who he is, what he stands for. And when we tune ourselves into Krishna, and he sees that we're making effort, he sees that we're trying, he sees that we're struggling to become more and more conscious of him, and he gives his grace. And that's what a devotee lives for, the grace of Krishna. Without the grace, there is no such thing as God realization. It is not only by our endeavors and by our efforts, but those efforts must be crowned by his grace. Sometimes we get so caught up in the means itself. The activity, as I was saying, hearing, chanting, remembering, but we forget the very purpose of them. And we should commend to our mind, what is the purpose of them? Why are we doing these things? To develop love for Krishna, Krishna prema. And Krishna wants us back. He wants to hear from us. And our chanting and our prayers should be communications to the Lord from our heart. And when we communicate more and more to the Lord from our heart, He takes these very seriously and gives His heart. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. And I am always within the heart of the pure devotee. The devotee does not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but him. This is the mood of the Lord to the devotees who are trying always, constantly, to remember Krishna. And so the devotee should be less concerned, as the verse says here, with how much money, how much fame, how much name, how much glory. Less concerned with that. That's not even important. But Srila Prabhupada says we should be concerned about more and more giving pleasure to Krishna. And when he responds to that effort to give pleasure to him, the pleasure that he gives to our heart is actually inconceivable. It is the real happiness that the soul is searching for in the external or material world, but can never find it because material pleasures are temporary, momentary. You have them, they're gone, and now anxiety replaces that until you get the next pleasure, the next fix. And all material pleasures will never give us true, real, lasting happiness. Lasting happiness comes from connecting with, attaching ourselves to, becoming truly entangled with the service of the Supreme Lord. And the more we become to like our service, become attached to service, service itself, it doesn't matter which service it is. Sometimes a person says, well, I'm only made for this service. I'm a singer, you know, I'm a speaker, or I'm a book distributor, I'm a this, I'm a that. Actually, a devotee, especially in the early stages of Krishna consciousness, should be ready to do anything and everything. And we all did, going back. If we needed to distribute books, we went out and we did that, even though you were a pot washer. If something else was needed, you did that. And you never considered it beneath your status, because all service, when done with love in the heart as an offering to Srila Prabhupada and to the Supreme Lord, is welcomed and respected and honored and appreciated and repaid countlessly. It's given back in the form of happiness. People are striving everywhere and anywhere to try to be peaceful, and they have no peace. Why no peace? Identified with the body. Identifying this, the soul identifies with the body. Therefore, the only happiness that can come from through the ears, the eyes, the nose, the tongue, the intelligence, the mind, and that's it. But that only brings temporary, momentary happiness. And anyone who threatens those, anyone who rattles them, anyone who frustrates them becomes an enemy, and we hate them. But a devotee really has no hatred. Who is he to hate? He feels everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. He's a part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, we're all part and parcel of Krishna. We're all brothers and sisters. You cannot help feel your connection, your relationship with everyone and everything. Krishna says one who is not connected with the Supreme Lord in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So Krishna is saying you need to get, we're all connected already, but we need to be aware of that connection. The connection is there. And as Srila Prabhupada says again and again in this purport and is said in the verse, we need to focus upon Krishna, remembering him, figuring out different ways. I think I mentioned this in one of my other classes up in Bellingham, Washington. I was there a few weeks ago. The temple president's mother, she's a devotee, and she teaches, she's a school teacher, and she teaches those students who are somewhat handicapped mentally, and she helps them to understand by breaking things down. But every 15 minutes, she carries a little alarm clock with her, the alarm clock goes off. Everything stops for a minute, and she just chants the holy name in her mind. People think that she's praying or meditating. And then after that, things go back. She's trained herself to remember Krishna throughout her entire working day. Even if it's for 1 minute, Krishna is so pleased to see that this woman is making this supreme effort, because when she goes home, she remembers Krishna because she's been remembering throughout the day. So this means making that extra effort, bending back, trying harder. It's not a matter of just getting involved in the action, but the action must be accompanied by Krishna conscious awareness. Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will come to me without a doubt. Because Krishna is giving a guarantee here. You think of me while you're fighting, while you're killing, while you're shooting arrows. Just remember, I'm right in front of you here. Of course, he's a charioteer. He's down a little bit lower than the actual car warrior. So he says, don't forget me and know why you're doing this. And it won't bother you if you have to kill your grandfather. It won't bother you if you have to kill your cousins, because you'll know you're really not killing them. You're only killing the body. And the soul will leave and take another body or another, go to another plane or another area. So our business is, as it's mentioned here, is to try to spread this Krishna consciousness. What does it mean to spread? It means disseminate. It means to get it everywhere and anywhere we can. Every opportunity can and should be raised. I think I told you that sometimes when I'm in a really preachy mood and some of these telemarketers call and they try to sell you something, like especially me, you know, I'm in the way over 60, so they try to sell me all this kind of insurance, you know, for old age. So many different things they're trying to offer me. So as soon as they open up their mouth, I say, wait a minute, I got something that you can't believe. You want to sell me something, I'm going to tell you something. Listen attentively, because this is going to be your most blessed, most momentous day that you ever lived. Now listen carefully. You just chant these words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He doesn't see my arms up, of course. So he says, what? I said, listen, you're letting a golden opportunity slip by you. I'm not kidding, I'm not joking. I can't tell you how wealthy I am. My wealth, you would not even be able to see it. Of course, it's in here. They're not going to see that. Just say it. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare. Okay, your day is successful. Your life is successful. Have a great day. Hey, wait. He couldn't sell me what he called me for. So when you go to the bank, you know, you talk to the teller. Immediately you take out a book, you put it on there. Have you seen this book on yoga? So there are, I'm not saying you should do this, that, or the other thing. I'm saying that if you want to preach, if you want to spread Krishna consciousness, if you want to make it go here, there, and everywhere, it's a matter of desire. And if you desire to do that, and Krishna will be pleased if you desire, and sometimes it may even be a little bit of a risk. So a devotee takes a little bit of a risk, and I don't mean that you should go and rob a bank or anything like that and then give him a book. That's not what I mean. But sometimes it's a little risk. Sometimes a person will insult you. Sometimes a person will badmouth you, but who cares? The only thing that matters is, what does Krishna think of me as a result of what I'm doing? And I know he's pleased, because this is what he wants done. He wants this knowledge to be shared so that people can live in peace and harmony and happiness and in strength and in confidence and in love. Otherwise, there will be it'll be just more chaos, more wars. Wars start from individuals who are not peaceful, who are agitated, who are upset, who are in the mode of passion and ignorance. So our business with these wonderful books is to encourage them to read the books, not only to take the book, but to read the books, to get the benefit of these books, and to become Krishna conscious, to answer their questions. We ourselves must read them and study them and understand them. And as a result, we can share them. And persons I know who are just materialists, over 14 years I've been talking and preaching to them, one particular bond broker, he's a devotee. When I call him up, first thing comes out of his mouth, Hare Krishna. And if I forget to say Hare Krishna, he chastises me. This guy's a bond broker. He deals in billions of dollars daily, you know. But he said, I have so many different clients. Some are Christians, some are Jews, some are this and that. He says, but this Krishna consciousness is the one that makes most sense to me. He says, I've become a devotee. It's amazing to hear this man speak. I become a devotee, and he's having problem giving up meat. He's just about become meat. He gave it up. And how did he give it up? I mentioned in one of my emails, I said, Mother cow doesn't like the idea that you're eating her. And it hit him so hard. He says, yeah, she's a mother. She's been taking care of me. I can't do this. So he's given up this. So the point I'm trying to bring out, in our different activities throughout our life, we will be given different opportunities, and those opportunities can be used to change persons into Krishna consciousness. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Are there any questions or any comments or any corrections? Or, Come on, it's got to be one. No? Come on, I'm not perfect. You're giving me an illusion. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.